All right, we are live, so we'll start the city work session for Tuesday, May 12th. Topics of discussion, review local affordable housing aid, LAHA policy.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. Back in February, we met and can introduce the concept program to you, what LAHA is. And give you a few different options, and what you provided is that you wanted something that was geared towards Ramsey residents currently, homeowner-based programs, things that help folks who don't make a ton of money invest in their property so that putting on a new roof, for example, doesn't create an undue burden or drive people out of the house or, say, a furnace goes out, things like that. So we came back after doing a little research and put together a draft policy, and this is a really just a check-in to see if we're on the right track. We don't have it scheduled for adoption yet. We got a couple more pieces that we need to put together before we get there. So on the first page, the eligible participants, that's basically the stuff that we have to do if we're going down this road of homeowner-based things. Preferred participants, you said you wanted to have something that gave some preference to seniors. Legally, though, we have to give preference to any household that's 80% or under area median income, so seniors got the second preference spot. Then after that, we have some eligible expenses. We have everything broken up into two parts. Exterior, these are kind of the bigger ticket items, the ones that generally you plan for, you line up contractors, you choose colors and styles and things like that. And then also, starting on the second page, interior improvements, these are the things that are a little cheaper that go out. You start making phone calls on Google to see who can get out there as soon as possible. Basically, all of these things except for the tree trimming part are things that are going to need a building permit. So it's kind of our way to check to see that the work has been done and done correctly. If they're going to use some taxpayer money to better their lives. The next part, matching contributions. That's where the council said you that you wanted residents to have some skin in the game to contribute something, but we do have a few folks that we're working with that have nothing to contribute. So instead of kind of punishing them, we want to have some sort of way, how do you handle both? So the suggestion was, well, instead of funding a program that could help somebody flip, encourage them to stay. And the more that you put in, the less we're worried about you taking the money and running. So the more you put in, the shorter the repay period is. And then after that, it's forgiven. Whereas if you put very little to none in, then we'd expect you to stick around for a while. Chances are those folks aren't moving anyway. So that's where the table in the middle of page two comes from. And then some feedback is that it was a little complicated, so they put a couple of examples underneath of how that would play out. Also, we're going to be paying contractors directly. That seems to be the preferred route. Anoka County does this with their programs, and they have a form that we'll have to tailor to our needs, but it's a good starting point that basically says, contractor, we're going to pay you, but you're also not going to kick back anything to the homeowner for their services. You think of quite a few years ago, get a windshield and a box of free steaks, and then that was made illegal. And then timing-wise, so all these exterior things that you generally schedule out in advance, take basically applications in February. That's generally our quietest month when it comes to code enforcement activities, planning cases, all that stuff, so that we have a little more time to help folks with an application and then to review them in March, get things lined up for that summer work. Interior things, we'll just deal as they come in. And our hope is to try to get to every request within 2 days. If it's January and you're out of furnace, we shouldn't have to have you wait for a month to go through a month-long application process. We'll work with you to get that new furnace so you don't freeze. And then we're going to do this basically in-house since we don't have a ton of money for this program. We could contract with some different organizations and services out there that do it. Either we would pay for it through general fund or the folks going after would pay some sort of fees for their services. We think given the small number that we'll get, at least initially the way we suggested with what we would do for allocations, it's really just we'll see. And if it does turn into a big time suck, then we'll kind of figure out some sort of game plan and bring that back to you.
Okay.
So with that, are we on the right track? Any questions so far?
Shanna.
Yep, on 3, on eligible participants, I see have any financial interest in other homes or dwelling units. Now, what are we, like, financial interest, like, as in their parents, they might end up being rewarded that? Like, what does that exactly mean?
If you have a cabin up in Brainerd or you and your siblings, yeah, maybe own another house or you own another house, you're kind of seen as, I don't want to say rich, but if this is your one and only house, that's what this should be providing preference to.
Okay, because, yeah, I see that part, such as such seasonal cabins, secondary homes, or investment properties. I get that. I was just wondering what you meant financial interest, because as soon as I said that, saw that word, I'm like, oh, so you're talking like parents passing, brother or sister passing, and financial interest in possibly receiving from those. That's where my head went as soon as I read that.
No. If your parents have passed and you have that house in your name, then you would not be eligible. But if your parents are old and you're the likely heir, that we don't count that.
Okay.
Any more?
Yep.
I'll get to you, Chris.
Okay.
So the preferred participants, and you said identification required if not the same person as on the deed, but I thought we were only doing this if you showed ownership, which means you are on the deed.
Well, let's say you own your house with your family, and now your mother moves in, who's a senior. Your mother's not going to be on the deed, but she's a senior. Presumably, she's got a driver's license or an ID that says, yes, she does live there. So that way, then, your home, your situation can qualify for these improvements. We just don't want you to grab your mom out of the senior center and say she lives with you just so that you get preference to get some improvements. We want that senior to actually live there.
In the home that the other people are living in. So
yes.
Wouldn't we be taking into account all of the people living in this home's finances?
Yes.
Okay.
That's by law, correct?
That is by law.
So if the combined family's finances is still low enough for them to qualify, then they would still be eligible if their parent lives with them and they have that as a home of record?
Yes.
We just want to make sure the home of record is that, so we don't just say, Grandma lives with us, give us preference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And is this, I'm hoping this isn't the official document, because I'm like, we are going to change the wording. The council has stated they'd like to have homeowners have some skin in the game. We're not going to actually have that in this as an adopted, right?
Policy. No, we can certainly change that.
Change the language there?
Yep.
Okay. Like, AI could do a good job on that. And I answered my other question on that one by reading the following paragraph, so I'm good.
You should actually pour some of that actual skin in.
Sure.
Chris?
In the section, the matching contributions and then the repayment portion,
I like all of that. Is like accounting or people doing this, is that going to be okay? Is that going to be too hard to administer the way that this is planned here? I mean, I like the idea. It just, I'm not sure how that's going to work.
I think what we're going to do when it comes down to putting together that lien that gets recorded against the property, instead of putting this table with, we'll actually put if paid, or if the house is sold between this date, this much is owed. If it's paid, it's sold between this date, and this much is owed. If it's sold after this date, nothing is owed. And they're always forgiven.
And the lien would be found by the title company,
yep.
And we're going to have to do administrative work to
right.
stay on top of it, so it would be automatic.
So the math would be done at the time the lien is drafted.
Correct.
Okay. Like I said, this fits exactly, I think, with what we're talking about. It's just I wasn't sure if this is too cumbersome. It sounds like it won't be because it'll be done once up front and then.
I did three categories just so that then the columns worked out where every 2 years it was either 25%, 33%, or 50%. I could do more columns and more years, but then it got to be a little complicated. So I was looking at it like a 0 to 25%, 25 to 50, 50 to 75. But this just seemed simple enough.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Does it look good?
Yes.
Move forward. But the change to verbiage and all the other questions answered. So.
Not sure when we'll have it back for formal adoption.
Okay.
Sometime in the next couple of months.
Thank you for doing that work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, then we're moving to discussion regarding police department staffing change.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of council. This case is being brought forward for your discussion. It pertains to a staffing situation that has come to light that we felt it would be important to bring you into the loop on, so that you can help make a decision. So as you know, a few years ago, the city developed basically a long-term internship program for our CSOs. CSO is a non-sworn position. They are a low-cost way to assist higher-paid police officers with non-sworn work in the police department. This new program, it requires individuals to be in a law enforcement student program. The title is a little bit awkward, but that is what it is, a law enforcement program student position. And the one of the conditions is that they are employed by the City of Ramsey as a community service officer, again, a non-sworn position, for no more than 5 years or 1 year post-eligibility. Whichever comes first, and as you know, post-eligibility is when they're able to become a police officer. And the city has been successful in retaining several community service officer, law enforcement program students as regular officers. Not all, some haven't made it, some have left, but we are aware of a current community service officer that we are confident that individual is going to be retained by another law enforcement agency if we are not able to act. We are very confident that this individual, if we had an opening, would slide right in. The person is a very good candidate. Her qualifications are high, more so than some other candidates. In other words, she's almost done with a bachelor's degree versus an associate's degree, and she's well-liked in the department. However, as you know, we don't have an opening right now. You also know that there will be a request come 2027 to add an officer in order to keep up with things, with the needs of the department. We would like to discuss with you the option of trying to retain this employee. As luck would have it, with the savings of, if we were granted permission to move ahead with this, the savings from that individual's current community service officer position, along with some savings, unexpected savings in the community service officer part-time budget that for positions that we hadn't been able to fill yet, because we're very particular, it takes time. We've had some savings build up that would have been in the budget. So that's kind of a long-winded way to say we have the funding for 2026 covered, should you agree to trying to retain this individual. Let's see if I covered everything here. So it's the staff's recommendation to add a patrol officer in 2026, potentially in July or August, and then leave that CSO position vacant. And with that, Chief Blummel is here to answer questions, as well as Administrator Hagen, and I can assist as well.
Questions, comments, thoughts?
Chief. Mayor, would be better if I elaborated. Yes. Colleen, thanks for the thorough introduction. So our CSO program, just for historical context, we've kept seven of our previous CSOs as licensed officers. Five of them additional have gone to other agencies. Obviously, that's not desirable when we put the time, energy, and training into them, but we also sometimes benefit from other CSOs of other agencies as well. Specific to this individual, in March, beginning of March, she reached out to me, asked if she could meet, had a respectful conversation where she just wanted to let me know she was going to be applying to other places. Not that she didn't want to work for Ramsey, but she knew we didn't have openings. I did share with her that my plan and intent was to ask for an additional officer and make the recommendation for 2027, but I didn't make any promises. I didn't want to do that, not knowing if it would be approved and not wanting to stall out her career. And about 2 weeks ago, at our command staff meeting, the captains let me know that things had progressed and she was further along in an outside agency, and that's what sparked a conversation between Brian and Colleen and I, just trying to see if there was a way to retain. I had the captains reach out to the sergeants just to see if we were on track, and supervisory staff is in agreement that she is someone we would desire to hire. As you know, I was hopeful that by now we would have maybe peaked out of this struggle of trying to find good police officers for our city. It is still a challenge, and that is another reason that I just wanted to have this conversation with all of you, so that we didn't just watch her ride off into the sunset and not do anything about it. Could you talk about we had two positions open recently for quite a while that we couldn't fill?
CSOs?
No, for the
officers.
Officers. Was it two positions?
We have, I'm not sure the exact number. Since 2020, we have not been able to get back up with CSOs and officers. CSOs have also been a struggle. We just added Landon, who's our fourth CSO yesterday. I think it was his first day. And it's just a hard market right now.
Okay. And can I add, yes. With regard to the steps that we put into the CSOs, we send them down to Martin McAllister. We send them through the public safety assessment. We don't bring on a CSO that the psychologist does not feel would not pass the psych to become a police officer. So they've sort of achieved that hurdle.
Questions, comments, wonderings, Chris?
I'm glad you brought this to us. I love this program. I love the internship idea that we get, I'll say, kind of a free ride and pre-look, and then that sounds great. I guess I'd like to just hear a little more. You said you were planning on asking for an officer in 27. Are you saying if we said yes now, that would be the 27 ask, you would just get it now early?
Correct.
And CSO would stay open till the end of this year, and then a CSO ask for next year to kind of essentially put that back?
My request would be exactly what you said. So this would be essentially starting the 2027 officer early, not filling the
open spot that would cause in CSO to save money. So we would work short on in CSOs, only having three of the four through the rest of this year. And then my request would be to go back to the one full-time, three part-time CSOs in 27. But that wouldn't be an increase. That would just be back to what we are today. Just to elaborate on CSOs, we have one full-time lead CSO, Katie. She is not rotating. She's 40 hours a week. And then we have three of the CSOs that Colleen has described that are the internship, 25 hours a week. They can't stay here forever. We want to move things through so that nothing stalls out. So they get a look at us, we get a look at them, and it keeps moving.
Kirsten?
How many officers do we have now, and how many would you hope to have or should we have at this point in your...
Councilmember Buescher, there's 30 officers right now sworn, including me, and we have 11 civilians. So our department is made up of 41 people. That number includes part-time and full-time, but does not include our volunteer reserve officers. Just submitted my documents to Diana on Friday, and my request for the next 5 years is one officer per year right now. Yes. Am I able to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
That's not just a random number. My thought behind it, which is a good time to talk about if you're okay with it, is that I would consider us a medium-sized department, but we don't want to grow too fast. We're very protective of our culture, and that is a service to the citizens because we are. Because we have the time to train people. We don't just bring in laterals that have been trained somewhere else. If we do bring in a lateral, we train them in how we do it in Ramsey. As you heard 2 weeks ago at our update, I don't know that you'll find another department that has the use of force stats that we have. They are very good at talking. My entire career, you get more high fives for using your brain and your words than other things. And not that it always works out that way, but that is our culture. The reason we're successful is because we're not rushed. Chief Caters never pushed the panic button during COVID, and he had the backing of everyone all the way down. It wasn't just him at the top saying, we're not going to push the panic button. When we were short-staffed, there was a commitment from officers that said, I don't want to have a partner for the next 30 years that's not doesn't work like we work here. And so they're having to work on their days off. That affects their family. We're having to cover shifts. So it was a group decision that I would like to not go back to. And so I think just this controlled, slow trickling of growing with our community is the best case for us if we can do it that way.
Michael?
Thank you, Chair. Should we say yes and the officer declines, go somewhere else? Do we go back to just 27 for the ask, or are you going to be wanting to continue on the accelerated pace?
Councilman Rolson thinks that's a great question. I would not be requesting an officer at that point. It's specific for this candidate.
Retaining good talent already have.
We have put a great deal of training and it is working. She is very good employee.
Other questions, comments? Chris?
I think I'm for this, as far as that goes. I guess a few of us remember, but a few years ago we made incremental little decisions like this that when it came time for next year's budget, we essentially had already approved a decent amount of an increase. And this is a small little decision that as we're talking about it right now, although it's covered right now, we're making a decision about next year's budget. So it's just important that we keep that in mind and understand that we are making an increase and building in a number that we don't get to kind of go back on.
Yes. Here. Yes.
Exactly. To Councilmember Riley's point, what was one of the first things that I said? Staff knows that. We recognize what happened and the challenge that presented at budget time. And that was a big part of this discussion, to make sure that this is because this is the right candidate, not just because We feel like now is the time for an officer. We do feel like it is the time for an officer, but this is really just because of the candidate. It's not the position, it's the person and how they fit in our department and our staffing.
Chief?
I don't want to interrupt you.
Yep.
There's one additional perk that's not, I just want to bring it up, that summertime training is ideal as well. So hiring someone in January, we make it work, but there's going to be a lot more exposure, a lot more, and we know that first 4 months shapes people for 30 years. And so that makes me excited about this opportunity as well.
Yeah, I think, for me, the thing that makes sense is, as you said, this is a decision that is being moved ahead of time, and it's kind of pre-gaming the budget. I know with their stats and with some of the increases we've seen to calls for services and stuff, I personally can't imagine saying no in 2027. So for me, it makes this decision a little bit easier because it is making a 2027 decision in 2026. But knowing the trend of what we need for policing in our city, it's moving it up a little bit forward. So it is something to consider. It also makes sense. Dan and then Shannon.
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, I definitely support as well. I think it'd be good if you don't mind, Brian, to have that, you know, or clean one of the big spreadsheet of new positions and maybe leave it on there and see how, keep in mind, we added that, even though let's say we can't change it. So just want to keep in mind, we say, you don't improve any of our positions, or like, well, we improved this one, or, you know, yeah, I'll just keep it in mind as we go. But absolutely, it sounds like a no-brainer.
Shannon.
Do we currently, I thought we had positions still open for police officers.
We're currently full.
So all those ones got...
Okay. It's the community service officer position that we just filled one as of yesterday, but now this person will be vacant going forward.
But to your point, and maybe I don't have the numbers wrong, but I thought we had like two sworn officers that we were down and we were waiting like almost a year to fill them, which would make it even more important to lock in talent versus saying no, getting to 2027. And then having that vacant for a year because we didn't pick up a qualified candidate now.
Correct. Okay. Any other discussion?
I just wanted to say that I think it's really cool that we've been trying so hard to try and recruit from within for a lot of positions. And her wanting to stay here it's great. It speaks to like how great the culture is here. Not just, you know, that she's an incredible candidate. I'm super happy that you guys have that, but... kudos to you guys for having a good department that people want to stick around in.
So consensus with Dan's statement of just making sure it shows up on 2027 budget so it doesn't fall off? Or it's not that it would fall off, but just that it's accounted for.
I think so.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Review the findings of the 2026 All Staff Employee Survey.
Thank you, Mayor, members of Council. You received an email from me. Hopefully, you were able to get a look at the survey ahead of time. If not, it is in printed form in front of you. The city has a process for conducting all staff employee surveys. It is a survey that we have done for many years. This time around, and I should say that the Labor Management Committee, which is made up of non-union management, all of the LELS groups and AFSCME group, several employees around this table, we talk about things that affect staff, and that includes the survey. The Labor Management Committee was supportive of conducting a survey. It was on our schedule to do it. So we conducted it this year in 2026. We received about 85% participation among the city's full-time and part-time employees. That would not include temporary employees, seasonals, volunteers are paid on call firefighters. We've conducted several surveys between 2007 and now. One of the questions that has been consistent on the survey since way back to 2007 is, would you recommend the city or would you recommend the organization to others who are seeking employment?
That percentage, the yes answers to that has ranged from 48% to 96%. You can see that information in your case. This time around, we scored 69%. That equaled 70 employees saying yes, only 3 saying no, but 29 answering unsure. An additional question that was added last time and continued this time is to rate employee morale on a 5-point scale. Last time it was 3.84. This time it dropped just slightly to 3.81 on a 5-point scale, rating morale. And so now that we have the survey and we have the data, now is when the real work begins. And this time around, what the committee opted to do is, rather than the committee sitting around and coming up with like a work plan or actual tactics to try to address shortcomings, as well as also to continue with what we're doing well, is to put it back to staff and as a follow-up survey, saying here's the areas that were identified that are a little weaker points, and what do you suggest? Another thing that was discussed with the Labor Management Committee was that, you know, anonymity is very important to employees when they take this survey. However, if you're reading the survey, you will see that you can read between the lines there's certain areas that, or departments or divisions that maybe have a couple issues that others don't. So this time around, when we follow up and say, how would you address it, we are going to ask employees to identify what division or department they work in. There will be an option for them to decline if they don't want to say, but we're hoping to kind of drill down to really do some problem solving. And I want to get your feedback tonight on this, and then next week that survey will go out, including any maybe suggestions that you guys have that you'd like to have us drill down on. And the last paragraph in the case just says, you know, this can be used for strategic planning and staff planning and budgeting and benefit planning. It's a very useful tool. So with that, I will stop talking and turn it over to you.
Council? Dan?
Is there any public data on how other cities rate? You know, maybe where it's 69%, yet most cities that this type of work, it's at 50 or something. Do you know how we compare, or is that...
That's a great question. Well, we're the best.
Of course. I assume a no because of 20%.
That is a great question. I don't know the answer, but I would sure be interested.
I don't know if that's stuff the league shares or not, but yeah.
That's what?
I don't know if that's stuff the league would share or not, or if it's private.
I don't think the league would have it. I would reach out to colleagues.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, in perspective of maybe overall people don't like city work or something.
Yeah, I mean, good point. And then there's other industries outside of local government.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it'd just be interesting to see what that looks like. But that's only we have that as of now. Other comments, questions, thoughts? Shanna?
Yep, I really zoned in on the collaboration between departments, and I did not get to your email, so I was reading these pieces. How are we truly planning on fixing collaboration between departments? Because even just reading this, I thought this 20% disagree that you all have very good collaboration between departments, and these responses definitely say that's a sour 20% that really do disagree that we don't. So how are we managing that?
So to kind of answer that a little bit, that's the idea behind don't stuff around here. Asking the staff for the solutions. You know, we took the last several surveys and kind of the small group said, all right, here's what we think we can implement to make the responses better and more favorable. And at least from the would you choose to work here question, that continued to drop. So, you know, let's put it back to the staff. The second part of it is really having that department identified. You know, there could be a case where those responses are coming out of one department, and now that's a very slim or narrow view by our staff versus you know, multiple people in multiple departments feeling that way. So, you know, do we have the magic answer right now? No, but that's something that at least I'm interested in, is knowing, okay, is this a, you know, a common personality type trend within one department, or is it truly a bigger issue? And then with the department identification, you know, we know just the short discussion we had with the Labor Management Committee that opinions differ on that in regards to, say, communication. We had staff from different departments kind of sharing different opinions, and we feel like if they identify within a department, at least the department head, because communication was a lower scoring area too from an overall trend, the department heads can say, okay, the feedback from my department is we want to be communicated in this way, where, you know, PD might be different than community development. So that's what we're hoping. We're hoping to just get better suggestions and really respond with their own ideas versus what we think would work.
Okay. I will say at the employee breakfast a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I don't know, time flies.
April 22nd.
Brian did point out that they're working to take a lot of the feedback from the survey and to improve it. So I think the communication has already started that they want to take the feedback and push it out. I would just say with the desire to remain anonymous, departments make sense. I worked for a place one time, and it was like, what department do you work in? How long have you been working there for? How many employees are on your team? And it got to the point where everybody's like, they know who any of us are just by cross-referencing that stuff. So as long as we don't get too in the weeds where they feel like they're losing that anonymity, I can't say that word, the ability to remain anonymous, that's important. Chris?
The next survey, is that going out to all staff?
Yes.
Okay, because I would think a couple of the comments were, stop asking us so many questions, which is interesting. And I mean, there's certainly answers in here that were opposites. Mm-hmm. You know.
Contradicting.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, now obviously you have to read through them all and, mm-hmm. and congeal around what you're reading, but... I guess I'm just concerned asking everybody what they want, because everybody can't get what they want. And if you ask them what they want and then they don't get it, then you're clearly not listening to them, like, facetiously, you know.
Yes.
And everybody's not going to get, most people aren't going to get what they want. And so when you're asking and then they don't get it, I'm concerned that there's going to be ramifications from that.
Yes, Councilmember Riley, I see your point. I think kind of a way to help with that is that those recommendations are then going to come back to the committee again, and the committee is going to work as a team to come up with a plan, and that committee represents, you know, there's an AFSCME, there's three AFSCME representatives. They represent AFSCME. There's a patrol, there's a sergeant, there's, you know, everybody at the table is there to represent their group, and that's what we will do. So, yeah, I mean, everybody can't get their way. I'm sure you may have noticed the comment that somebody wanted to start with 8 weeks of vacation. You know, that's obviously not going to happen. And
I think they were kidding, but...
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Kirsten?
I read through it, like, you know, when you sent out the email, and on its face, at first was kind of disappointed to see how low that was. And it's not something that I feel like I feel when I talk to people who work here. It seems like everyone genuinely enjoys what they do and each other. Of course, they're not going to tell me maybe anything different. And I don't work with you guys, so it's different. But I was sad to see that. And some of the comments, obviously, were also... unfortunate, but I hope that people recognize that you asking them for their opinion is far better than choosing to ignore it, and that, you know, sometimes we all don't get our way, and it can't be perfect, and like Chris said, there's going to be people that are not going to be pleased no matter what, but I think we can genuinely tell the difference between those folks versus the folks that really want to try and make a difference, so I hope that you guys are able to do that. And it does seem like maybe there are some specific departments in there that, you, like you said, you can kind of have a sense of what's going on. And I'm hopeful, too, that being able to divvy them out will be helpful because their job duties are so vastly different. I mean, having to do a physical labor job day in and day out versus, you know, someone who's maybe doing something that's more mentally taxing, it's so different. And to try and compare the notes between each other isn't necessarily fair. But I also noticed that maybe we're not fan favorites here either, that there's maybe some comments about how people feel about us as council members, and that's okay too. But I want to know if there's anything that we could be doing better to connect with our staff members so they know us and they recognize that we do care about them and the work that they do every day. You know, if there's more opportunities for us to have touch points with them or for them to recognize, you know, what we're doing isn't intentionally to try and make the budgets too tight for them to function or anything like that. I would like, you know, to make sure that there's feedback both ways, right? Like I can do something better, they can offer something better that would help themselves, but, you know, whatever we can do, I think, for both sides is good.
And I think the comments here are great because it can help with some education sides. Like, it's not bad. It's not untrue, but like I saw the comment about, like, I want to have the ability to reach out to the city attorney myself. Like, maybe if we can use that to educate them, like, well, that doesn't, it's not really feasible that every employee gets a free city attorney session. I'm not trying to, like, downplay it. It's just really not feasible.
How about this? I'll sit in. I won't allow it. Does that mean that I'll be the bad guy?
Yes.
There you go. Can't happen.
But I think when we can capture that data, then we can at least educate them and be like, just PSA for the team. The reason why we have to do some of this stuff isn't because we don't value your input. We don't have time or resources to do that. So I think the comments are great because you can get ahead of some complaints maybe just by explaining them.
Jan?
Just a praise report, I guess, is I feel appreciated and recognized at my work, and 49% of people agreed, so congratulations, staff. That is an awesome number, I think. 49% said, I agree that I actually feel appreciated and recognized for my work that I've heard out in the world, obviously self-employed, but I've heard that is huge out in the regular world, is I don't feel valued or appreciated for my work, so I think that number is amazing. So good job, staff.
And even, you know, I comments about the council, like, I feel like I have a pretty tough skin, so I don't, hopefully they feel taken care of, but even, like, I think not even most people I talk to that haven't been part of a city council don't understand that, like, council and mayors aren't full-time positions. I'm sure you've got that from people. I don't know, everybody assumes it's a full-time job.
I do.
And maybe that's the same thing with some city staff members who are not very plugged in. So kind of the same thing, like not putting down what they said as not being relevant, but even like a lot of the council members work from 9 to 5 every single day. So like I saw the comments about not showing up and visiting, like sometimes that's just a limitation of it being a part-time job. So maybe that's something we could dispel. Other criticisms are warranted, but if there's ones that are just based off a misunderstanding, maybe we can just try to explain that a little bit more. Anybody else? Okay.
Can I just have one clarification since it came up? Because I
yes.
thought 49% seemed low.
Oh, really?
Agree is 49%, but strongly agree is almost 19%. So you have to add those two numbers together because then it's even better.
I apologize. I didn't do math. Okay.
If you add them all together, it sounds even better.
It's 100%.
Yeah,
well, then you
got to
do minusing for the disagreeing
song.
And all that
100%
stuff.
Of the
time.
Somebody agrees. At some level, it's a point. If there's nothing else, thank you for doing this and for taking a proactive approach to caring about our employees and trying to find solutions and be meaningful about how we do outreach and improve the workplace. If there's no other comments, then we'll move to item 4, which is discussion regarding union contract negotiations. And this is going to be closed to the public, so we'll cut the mic before we start talking about that.
Frank, you just want me to pause it?
We actually have to keep it. We have to keep the mic going for a minute.
For the minutes, yes.
Oh,
okay.
And then we'll shut it off.
But we're not on. The owl's not running.
I'll have to shut that off too. When we'll do the motion to go in, let clean the spiel.
Okay.
I'll stop this, restart it, and then I'll take care of it.
Sorry.
36.
All right. Can I introduce the case? This will keep it going. So this is a case for discussion regarding union contract negotiations. It will be closed to the public very shortly. The purpose is to update the City Council on the status of negotiations for all contracts that will be ending on December 31st, 2026. Per Minnesota Statute 13D03, we are allowed to close this public meeting for negotiation strategy upon majority vote of the council, so I would ask for that at this time.
All right. Go ahead and move into closed session. All right, we have consensus from the council.